Boker Tov, and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. We're right in the middle of a sugya on Daf Membet Amubet of Ketubot, and discussing Rabbi Shimon's opinion about the Tashlumin of Knas after Hamada Bedin. Rabba was of the opinion that Rabbi Shimon would say that it reverts to Mamon, and he has just been challenged by Abaye, and he answered Abaye that you're right, and indeed Rabbi Shimon agrees that it, as I said, that it is Mamon, but you are not Chayiv Korban Shvua of Kfirat Mamon if you deny responsibility and later admit to it because it originated as Knas. In the middle of that discussion, in the middle of the Amun Eitave, Rabbi Shimon Omer, and now we quote our Mishnah, what do we learn in our Mishnah? That if the girl did not yet collect the knas and boshuf kam before the father died, then it belongs to her, and we don't say, as Chachamim said, that once the case already came to din, it belongs to the father, even if the father died. So according to you, Rabbah, who says that a knas, once there's hamara bedin, it becomes mamon, and it goes into the family estate, then why does it go to her? According to you, it should belong to the brothers. So Amarava, hi Miltak Shoiba, Rabba Rav Yosef, Hasun Matartin Shnin. So Rabba and Rav Yosef and Pumbadita were troubled by this issue for 22 years. Though Ifrik, and they never solved it, Adiyati Rav Yosef Beresha, until Rav Yosef became Rosh Hashiva, which of course happened after Rabba died, Upirka, and then he solved it. Shani Hatam Damar Kravanatana Isha Shochevi Malavian Arachamishim Kasef. Rav Yosef says that Knas of Onos Mefat is unique, because the wording of the Torah is that the man who lay with her shall give to the father of the girl Chamashim Kesef, meaning Lo Zichta Torah La'av El Meshat Netina. It only becomes the father's from the point that it's given to him, which means that unlike other obligations, the money does not enter the estate until it actually enters the father's hand. And therefore here, since the father died before collection, it remains a Knas and remains in her property. So when Rabba said that a knas becomes mamon for the purposes of becoming part of the estate, he's talking about other knasot besides onus mefata, which is unique. So now we challenge the You have the same sort of wording that if a man's ox kills another man's slave, he has to give 30 shkalim. And according to what you said, if the fellow denies it in court and then admits to it, according to what you said, it would then become Amon. But you have the same word, Yitain Ladunav, which indicates that it's only belongs to the master, based on what you said about Vnatan. It only becomes to the master once he actually gets it in his hands, and that hasn't happened yet. So, Achinami lo zichtato ala adon, ela mishat netina, you're going to say the same argument? The answer we give is, yitain lachud, vinatan lachud. So Rava answered that the way Rav Yosef solved it was that the word yitain should not be considered the same as the word vinatan. Even though they both mean he will give, the notion is vinatan ha'ish laviana ara means as if to say it's fully given to him. As opposed to yitain, which means you have an obligation to give it, and that obligation may carry over to the sons also. Now, Yachi Talmud Omer v'chichesh, if that's the case, then why did Rabbi Shimon say, I might think that if you're kofer b'knas, you're still chayav, therefore it says v'chichesh, why not say, Talmud Omer v'natan mibayle, why doesn't he point to knas and say it says v'natan? He says, when do you need v'chichesh? For a unique case, g'on sha'amda b'dinu v'agra umeita. Let's say the din already happened, and then she became a bogeret, and then she died. Now, in that case, the father does get the money, but he gets it through a different route. Tahatam ki kayarit avia, when the father gets the money, minadidol kayarit, he's getting it from her. He's not getting it because it belonged to him, and then she was taken out of the picture. It's because it belonged to the daughter, because she became a bogeret before collection, and then she died, and he inherited his daughter's estate. So, yachi yatsu elu shen knas, mamun hu. Then in the Rabbi Shimon's wording on the previous Amud, it shouldn't say, and these are excluded because they're knas, they are mamon according to you. So Nechem Yitzchak Yatsu Elu Shi Karan Knas. What he really meant was, these things are excluded because they originated as a knas. Since they originated as a knas, therefore they never fully become mamon, and therefore you're not chayv korban shvua. Good. So then, when we get to the later part of the Mishnah, Eitav Rabbi Shimon Poter, Shen Mishalim Knas Al Piatzmo. Why does Rabbi Shimon say, you are patur, If you come and say, anastu petiti piti, because after all, you don't pay kanasal piatzmo, tam adelo amar bedin. So this is only talking about a case where there was before hamar bedin. Hamar bedin v'shalim al piatzmo, korban shvu nam michayev. So Rabbi Shimon, remember, in our Mishnah, is talking about a case where there was no din. The guy just came forward and admitted that he did ones. There was no court case. So in that case, you don't pay. The implication is, if there was Amar Abedin, then he would pay. After all, if there's Amar Abedin and he admits to it in the din, then he does have to pay. So Korban Shvua Nam Mechayv, according to the way Rabbi Shimon structured it, you should be Chayv Korban Shvua. And we just got through saying, Rabbi, you just got through saying that Rabbi Shimon would say, you're not Chayv Korban Shvua, even after Amar Abedin. Right? Rabbi Shimon Divrem Drabban Kamralu, this is how he answered. Rabbi Shimon, when he says that Enim Shalom Al Piatzmo, is really responding to the Rabbanan. He's saying, the Didi, as far as I'm concerned, Afagav Damad Bedin Rachmana Patre, even if there's Hamad Bedin, the Torah still exempted you. Mi Vechichesh, but because Vechichesh and that whole list of Veda, etc., are all Mamun, and therefore Knas is just not in the Parsha at all. Elola Didchu, but according to you, Odulimia, Techer Lo Hamad Bedin, at least admit that there was no Hamad Bedin. Dechi Kotava, Knasa Kotava, what the guy is coming and claiming, he's claiming Knas. In other words, the guy comes up to another fellow and says, you did ones on my daughter. And the other fellow says, no, it takes a shur to that effect, and then later admits that he did. Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbanan, you should at least agree with me in that case that there is no mamon in play. So why they disagree? And the answer is, Rabbanan Savri ki katava boshtav kam katava. And this is really the machloket. The Rabbanan say, when the guy is coming to Dean and accusing the other fellow of ones, or mefateh, what he's really claiming essentially is the boshtav kam. But my, so my could be palgi, what's the disagreement? Our papa, b'shimon savar, lo shavik inish midi de kitz, v'tav midi de lo kitz. A person is not going to avoid going after a set payment and go after something that fluctuates and is being measured and he could end up with very little. Chamishim kesef is a lot of money. Chamishim shkalim. The other ones may end up being very little. So Rabbi Shimon says, therefore, when a guy comes to Beit Din and says, Anasta Biti, his main focus is on the Knas, and therefore Knas defines how things play out. Rabbanan Savri, lo shavi kinishmidi, dechimodi be lo miftar, tamidi dechimodi be miftar. A person is not going to come to court and ignore that item, which if the defendant admits to it, he will be chayev, and go after the one that if the defendant admits to it, he'll be potter. Doesn't make sense. He's going to go after the thing, like boshtuf kam, at least he'll get that payment, even if the guy admits to it. So the question is really, what's the focus when they come to Beit Din? Okay, now we have a new question. This is halacha we're going to get to later on in our parak, when we get really into the main part of Ketubot. If a father dies and leaves sons, and leaves a daughter or daughters, the sons have to take care of the daughters. And it comes out of the ketubah money. They have to give them a weekly food check or whatever. Now, maseya dehalami. So there's a girl who's being fed by the brothers. Who does her maseya daim, her wages, who do they go to? Do we say, b'malkom av kaimi, after all, the orphans are taking the place of the father. Ma'ata maseya de'ala av, just like the father who feeds or gets her wages. Hachra maseya de'ala achin, same thing in this case. The wages should go to the brothers. Or perhaps it's not the same, because there in the case where the father's alive, he's really working and feeding her. It's his own money. Here, they're not feeding her with their own money. They're feeding her with money that they inherited as part of an estate to take care of her. So which is it? So Rav Sheshet said, we have the following Mishnah at the beginning of the 11th parak. The widow is taken care of by the Yatomim, and her wages go to them. So isn't that a proof that the same thing should happen with the daughter? And we answer to me, Dami. Who says the same? He doesn't necessarily want his widow to make a lot of money. He has no interest in that. But he's certainly interested that his daughter would make a lot of money. In other words, the intention of the guy before he passed away, as if he were here today, his intention would be that I want my daughter to do as well as she can. And if she makes more money, more power to her. And in the meantime, she gets fed by the estate. The almana, he doesn't want her necessarily to do that. He wants her to be fed and taken care of, but not necessarily to become rich off the estate. So therefore, her wages should really go to his sons, to the Yatomi. Now, that is based on an assumption, lemeima debito adifalei amanato. This is a very gross assumption, gross in the sense of not fine, that he has more concern for his daughter than for his widow. I, v'amar Rabbi Avraham Rabbi Yossi, asu amana etzel abad kibat etzel achin min chasim muatin. In a case where there is very little left in the estate, what they did is they made the widow relative to the daughter as they made the daughter relative to the sons. What's the din if there's very little limited money and there's daughters and sons? The daughters get fed and the sons have to go beg. So what do? They say the following. Ma habat etzel achin, just like when there's a daughter and sons, habat nizonet v'achin shalu aptachim, the girl gets fed and the sons have to go beg, have to go out and find a job, whatever. Af almana etzel abat, the same thing. If there's an almana and a daughter, almana nizonet v'abat nishalu aptachim, the widow gets fed and the daughter has to go out and work, which means that it seems that we assume the father favors his widow over his daughter. So the answer is that it depends for what purpose. The inyan ziluta, as far as degradation, almanato adifale, is more concerned for the honor and dignity of his almana than over his daughter. The inyan harvacha, but as far as profit goes, bito adifale, there he's more concerned about his daughter. If you think about it, that all very much makes sense within even what we're familiar with in relationships. Now, Meiti Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef challenges this entire assumption. Maseya deham tziatav bishalon shalo gavta. From our Mishnah, what did we say? The very end of the Mishnah said that the bogeret, all of her earnings in a mitziah, even though they weren't collected yet, I have to think about that last phrase, meita avarein shalachin. Even though father died, they go to the brothers. Now, tamed b'chayav. In other words, that stuff that she's earned while the father was alive, but they just weren't collected yet. Halacha mitata av. So therefore, the things that she earns after father died are la'atzma, belong to her. So you see that even though the sons are feeding her, her brothers are feeding her, nonetheless, she keeps her own wages. My love, benizonet, aren't we talking about a case where she's being fed by them? Lo, b'she'ena nizonet. We're talking about a case where there's so little money that they're not feeding her. In other words, she's got to earn her own way. Say, yi b'she'ena nizonet, my lamemra. If she's not getting fed by them, why would you think that she doesn't keep the money? Because I feel man damar, yechol arav lamar la'evet, asim yi v'nizonach. Even according to the opinion, it's a machloket and gittin. Even though there's an opinion that says that a master can say to his slave, you have to work for me and I'm not going to feed you. During your spare time, you go find your own money. That's only with an avikrani. The loktiv be'imach doesn't say at any point that you have to treat him as some sort of an equal or with that kind of concern. Take a look at the pasuk on the page. It says that an eved ivri might want to stay with you because tov lo imach, life is very good when he's with you. Lo, so certainly an eved ivri who you don't have the right to say, listen, I'm not going to feed you, and you got to take care of, and you got to work for me. Kolshkein bito. So certainly the daughter, vis-a-vis the daughter, the father would never have the right to say, your wages have to come to me, and I'm not going to feed you. So if the brothers are not feeding her, then there's no having, there's no reason to think that the wages would go to them. So what's the hamina ravua melitzucha ladafa? We're talking about a case where there's hadafa, meaning where the girl is making, let's say, $50 a week, and the food bill is $30 a week. And so the chidush there is to tell you that even those extra $20 she gets to keep. Amarava, gav rabba Rav Yosef lo yada the ika dafa. Wait, Rav Yosef, who you're challenging here? But he didn't know about Hadafi. He didn't know about the possibility of a surplus. The kamotiv tiyufta. But he challenged and didn't know the obvious answer, which is that we're talking about Hadafa. Ela amarav Rav Yosef mandit in gufa kashali. The problem is Rav Yosef found a problem within the Mishnah itself. Diktani ma'asei adam tziata av pishalo gavta. Remember I pointed out, the end of the Mishnah says that ma'asei adeha, her wages, and her mitziah. Mitziah is something you pick up and find, even though it wasn't collected. Mitziyata miman gavya. What do you mean? What kind of collection is there for mitziya? Why does it use that language? Lav hachikamar. What the Mishnah is saying is as follows: Maaseya dea kimitziyata. Her wages are like a mitziya. Ma mitziyata b'chayav la'av l'char mitata av la'atzma. Just like a mitziya. If father's alive, he gets it. If father's not alive, she keeps it. Right? Af maaseya dea nami. The same thing therefore applies. In other words, the two are juxtaposed, and the word gavta is thrown in to kind of make you think about it and to show you they're juxtaposed. To say in the same way with wages, b'chayav la'av l'achar mitata av la'atzma. So you see that after a father dies, all the wages go to her, right? And shema mina. So therefore, you see that the halacha should be that if a girl earns money after mitata av, that money should go to her, even though she's being fed by the estate. Now shema mina, good. Itmar nami, we have a statement that supports this. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav. Keep that in mind. Batin, Zonin Achim, Maseya Del Atzma, girl being fed by her brothers, she keeps her own wages. Now, I'm Rav Kana, my time, why does Rav say this? Dichtiv, a pasuk that referring to Eved Kanani, v'nachaltem otam l'mnechem achareichem. You shall bequeath them, the Eved Kanani, to your sons. Meaning, otam livnechem, your Eved Kanani you can bequeath to your sons. V'lovnotechem livnechem, you cannot bequeath your daughters to your sons, which of course doesn't make any sense in and of itself. So it means as follows, magid she'ein adam moris chut bito livno. It means that a man cannot bequeath the rights that he has of his daughter to his son. Meaning, a father has rights to collect the girl's wages, but they don't get passed on to the brothers. Alright, so therefore, Rav, that's what Rav's reason for saying that the Maaseh Adayim, even though she's getting fed by the brothers, that she keeps her own wages. So Matkifla Rabba challenges. Maybe the Torah is just saying that you bequeath the Abadim Kananim and not Knasot and Chabalot, etc. Right? But not wages. Maybe wages remain the brother's domain. And we actually have Rabbi Chanina reading it that way. So the answer is that doesn't make sense. Chavalot, tsar de gufaninu. Chavalot is battery. Battery is tsar. Tsar certainly goes, even if father's alive. If somebody hurts a little kid, then the tsar payment does go to the kid, and they put it away in a trust fund. Skula. Yosef Chanina, kishet psa'a befanel. Let's say that the damage was somebody attacked her and hit her in the face. So it damaged her vis-a-vis her marketability, if you will. So therefore, the tsar might go to the father. That's what you would think. And so Rabbi Chanina says the pasuk is only excluding kapitu and kasot and chavalot, that doesn't go down to the next generation. I say adayim do. So we have a machloka. Zera amarav matna amarav. V'amrila amarabi zera amarav matna amarav. What's the difference between the two? Look at Rashi. Rav Zera is his title when he was in Babel before he got proper smicha in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Zera was after he made aliyah. Famous story about Rabbi Zera making aliyah. And the student of Rabbi Yehuda. In any case, he quoted Rav, Batan izorat minachin, maaseh adeh le'atzma, tichtiv, o inachaltem, otam v'nechem acharechem, otam v'nechem lo'nechem lo'nechem, pagish adam or yishchut bito livno. So the exact repetition, but now it's not just that Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Rav, Rabbi Zeira said it, and then Rav Matna the name of Rav, and Amar Levim bar Papi, Shkod Amara, he said Shkod, who was Shmuel, a nickname for Shmuel, Shmuel said it. What Shkod Manu Shkod Shmuel Harav Amara? What do you mean Shmuel said it? Rav said it. Ema Av Shkod Amara, meaning not only did Rav say it, but Shmuel said it. Now you got Rav and Shmuel saying the same thing, that if a girl is being taken care of by the brothers, she still keeps her own wages. So now, Hachi Amar Bar Amemar Ravashi. He said the following. Hachi Amri Nahardei. The Nahardeans say, Helchataka Vateda Rav Sheshet. Halach is like Rav Sheshet, that the Maaseh Adayim go to the brothers. Rav Ashi himself, Amar, Helchataka Vateda Rav. The Halach is like Rav. Helchataka Vateda Rav. The Halach is like Rav, that the Maaseh Adayim she keeps, even though she's being fed by the brothers. Tov, Mirtz Hashem, in the next podcast, we'll pick up at Mishnah Bet, which is on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Bet, as we get further into the issues of Etzem HaKtubah.